Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
So we have another wonderful quote.
Oh, okay.
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell if you were there. Yes, we have a good quote, don't we?
Yes, we do. This one is, handling an emotional crisis leads to greater wisdom and results in lifetime benefits. Fear of life is really the fear of emotions. It is not the facts that we fear, but our feelings about them. Once we have mastery over our feelings, our fear of life diminishes.
Should I
do that again?
Yeah, please.
We've got this routine down, Sherry.
Right. Well, you know, they're big. You know, these are big, big notions, and I like to hear them again, even though I've heard them before.
Handling an emotional crisis leads to greater wisdom and results in lifetime benefits. Fear of life is really the fear of emotions. It's not the facts that we fear, but our feelings about them. Once we have mastery over our feelings, our fear of life diminishes.
You know, one of the things that I saw this time when I was listening to it is that process that I bet we all know, where we go through something really difficult, really painful. We get to the other side of it, and we know we're kind of stronger, better people for having been through it. And yet, we still are afraid of the next, whatever it is, the next big thing that's going to come along, and a big thing will surely come along. And the point that the quote makes it so important is that it's not the whatever it is, because when we're present to whatever it is, we're fine. It's our fear of how we're going to feel about whatever that is, which is largely a result of the story conditioned mind is telling us about that event.
Mm-hmm.
Does that all seem true?
Yes. So if I may reflect, that when we are in a painful situation and are present to it, we actually are fine. It's the story about it afterwards that makes it not fine, meaning that produces the feelings about it that we are told we can't stand. And when you were saying that, it related to what we were talking about yesterday, right? That feelings are we need to lose interest in our feelings. That's what the quote speaks to, because feelings are what we experience when we are in that process of separation from life, which is what you said. Because when we're here, there is no fear. But when we're
not here, when we're in that situation,
then we are afraid.
Yes. When we're here, there isn't a conversation of fear or dread or whatever that is. I won't be able to stand it. And so it's fine. You know, everything we look at, everything we read, everything we talk about gives us one piece of information. Where we want to live is here. Any other place is not a good place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, yes. And what I was seeing when you were saying that is also, I happen to be working on the curriculum for a retreat and about fear. And what I was looking at is that the quote is pointing to the conversation I'm in is I'm afraid of, I don't want to be in this situation because I'm afraid of it. It's such an avoidance tactic, right? That's what the conversation does. It actually prevents us from being here and having the experience that we're okay when we're here. So we are avoiding being here in order not to have the experience of whatever we're afraid of, because when we're here, we're not afraid.
Oh my God, that is mind-boggling. So the ego, we can say, avoidance strategy is to get us not to try to not be here, because here is scary, and yet what's really true is here is not scary. What's scary is being in the avoidance tactic of a conversation about how scary whatever it is.
Yes. Well, and, you know,
that's
you wrote
a good
the
trick.
Book on fear. You wrote the book on fear, Shari, so this is not original for me. But as we were writing the recording and listening portions of it, that's the recording and listening exercise, right? Because what every time we are in scary situations or painful situations or emotionally difficult situations, the recording that we're encouraged to do is to bring into awareness how all right we were in those situations. Because otherwise, there's no evidence that to confront that conversation of fear. We just believe it because that's what we hear, and we want to replace it with the conversation of how much that emotional crisis or how okay we were in that emotional crisis that assists us to believe that that is the place where fear does not exist, and rewrite that narrative.
All right. I think it's really good because I project a lot of folks about now are vulnerable to all kinds of fear-mongering stories. A ton of stuff designed to take us out of here and into a really scary future.
Well, the fear book just came out, so I think that's a good time, good reference mechanism.
Well, and you gave it away. We have, I think, 4 or 5 slots left in the New Year's retreat, which is on fear. So if anybody has this as an issue, they could join us, huh, and explore it.
Absolutely.
All right. You got anybody there for us?
Several. Here we go.
Oh, good. All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Shari. This is Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
Hey, Zoe.
Hi. I'm just noticing all the stuff that's coming up around what you guys are talking about, and I really like the idea of recording past experiences of being okay in those situations. I think I've actually done that.
Now the work is to listen to them, right?
Yeah. I think I've just done it somewhere along the lines because it seems like a familiar thing, and I think it's helpful. And I'm also noticing what the process that I call digging the heels in, where and it's basically what you're talking about. It is a conversation that does not exist in the here or the now, that when ego tries to use some hypothetical extreme example to illustrate why none of that makes sense.
Yes. So we're going along. We're looking at something that's real, and here's the voice in the head. Well, yeah, but what? And then it's off in hypothetical land of something that has never happened, and is very likely never to happen.
Right. Because the whole conversation is about this is all a fine opportunity, a fine spiritual opportunity for, us privileged people who are not oppressed or not in some minority. And, so I see that. And then it's a very old process that I've noticed around it, bringing up those hypotheticals to try to subvert anything about, you know, anything that would be useful, of course.
Yes. And, of course, if we were to interview a lot of those oppressed minorities, they would say, we didn't just become oppressed minorities at the election. Right?
Right.
Yeah. It's been going right along. Might it get worse? Well, conceivably, and it might not get any different at all. It might actually really improve things if enough people get frightened and decide not to remain apathetic.
Right, right. Yeah, I hope so. So yeah, I unmuted myself, or I dialed *6. That's just what I've noticed just now. So
okay, well, and you've got a good project, right? To every time one of those stories starts up, you can do a recording of, well, now actually that's not true, because what actually happened is that I saw this and I realized this, and I don't have that fear any longer. I feel like I'm much stronger. I can direct my attention better than, so actually it was a very helpful thing for my growth. And you make those recordings every time the hypothetical, oh, well, yeah, but, comes up.
But yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and then you listen to them. That's the next piece, right? You listen often.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Thank you,
Zoe.
Thanks, Zoe. It's just so fascinating, the stories that come up that prevent us from being here.
Oh, anything. Right? It's
like little
kids, you know, trying to keep themselves awake at night by just making nonsense syllables, you know, anything to make a noise and keep me awake a little bit longer. And for a conditioned mind, what it's turned into, any kind of inane story conversation to stay out of here. That's essentially what's going on all the time.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 1 second, Sherry, that my... Mm-hmm. Computer is just acting up, which is why I sound distracted. So here's our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Sherry. This is June.
Hello, June.
Hey, June. Good morning. Well, that's a very interesting quote we have this morning. I remember some of my clearest memories are of those emotional storms, those crises. When I was younger, nothing helped but time. You know, just try my best to live through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then practice came along, you know, the greatest blessing of this life, and the process changed. And those are also very clear memories of going through just really hard emotional stuff, but being able to summon a degree of consciousness, of presence with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the most striking aspect of it is that it passed much more quickly than before. I had the ability to just sit still and observe it. I mean, I remember that's all that... Early on, that's all I was really capable of. It was just I remember going through it, sitting in meditation at the monastery, and just I've heard you talk, Sherry, about just clutching the zafu, just trying your best not to get up, just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just extremely powerful.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and it is, I think the power in what you're describing is when we're up walking around and we're not particularly tuned into practicing with something, then what's happening is we're just listening to the conversation, and for extended periods of time, that'll be our only reality. We're just lost in that, it's like an endless movie, right? And that becomes our reality, gets a lot of our attention. But when we're sitting still with it in the way you describe, whether we're actually on the cushion, which is the very best place, of course, to do it, or we're consciously doing it as we're going around doing other things, we're our work is to come back to presence. And during the time that our attention is on presence, whether it's the breath or, you know, where my feet are or whatever it is, I'm here, I'm not reinforcing the story. And the old image that we used, which is really tricky with digital, but in the old days when there was a tape that we were listening to or a movie that was actually a film, you know, a thing, the image was to make a cut in it, right? And then then you come back to the present, it makes another cut in it. It makes another cut until finally you've come back to the present rather than reinforcing the film or the tape so often that it doesn't really hang together anymore. And that's that process of speeding up the moving past it and also interfering with conditioned mind's ability to put it in a file somewhere, right, that it can bring out whenever and say, well, yeah, and it can be bad because remember the time when da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really helpful. It's really helpful to kind of diagram the process of moving quickly through past ego stuff. Because we're not actually attempting to quash feelings. That's not what we're doing. People will say, well, aren't you just trying to avoid or escape? No, because if it's a legitimate fear of something or a legitimate, then we're with that and we reassure the person, we take care of, you know, the body, we breathe through it, we help it to calm down, and we come back to presence.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was going to say is that part of the karma of my personality type is to flatline emotion and to sort of withdraw from difficult situations. And so really continuing practice for me is, am I letting go? Am I present? Am I making little snips in that endless tape loop, or am I flatlining? Am I withdrawing? So it keeps me on my toes.
yes, because that, which goes back to the quote, doesn't it? The avoidance, and the avoidance is a story, right? So it's don't go there. That's going to be really upsetting. Don't do that. That's going to be really upsetting. And what's really upsetting is that story, right? Yeah. Because if we're actually here, even, you know, somebody could be screaming and yelling at us or, you know, threatening us or whatever it is. And if we're actually here and present and life is informing our response rather than turning to conditioned mind for a reaction, then what we learn over practicing that over time is that we're actually okay. You know, the person is really upset and we can be breathing and there for it and sympathetic and understanding that they're having a really hard time with whatever is going on. But we're not in danger.
Yeah.
We're in danger if somebody's threatening us and ego decides to take over and say, okay, just don't pay any attention to that. Just avoid that situation. That's not actually a good approach.
Absolutely. And in my system, it's sometimes hard to catch.
Yes.
It's such a default setting. And
yes.
It hardly comes as a conversation. It's just a little energy movement to avoid. And I've been watching it around the presidential election results. Let's see. What the conversation that happens is imaginary conversation in my head with one or more people who have very differing views from me. And I can get really caught up in the back and forth of that. And the most obvious feature of it is I never actually have those conversations.
And yet, June, and yet, for the system, you know, it's back to that, is it psycho-cybernetics? I think they termed it when that the mind can't tell what's real. And so the system is getting information that is really going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I noticed then that after having those imaginary conversations, that there's a subtle feeling that I've done something about something.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and that's deadly, isn't it?
Yes. It's just that the energy has been diminished, mm-hmm. and I'm more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, you know, there's some part of me, I guess, I think, thinks it's kind of fun to have those imaginary conversations because I always win the argument.
Yes, well, yes, and ego does like that. And it does another thing, too, which is that the life force that belongs to you, and this is one of the themes of these calls that we've been on a lot, so that life force is available to you. And back to what Zoe was talking about, you know, there might be a group of people that you're really concerned about now. And now would be a perfect time to take some sort of action to support them or assist them in some way. That life force is there, and it just gets through this very devious little process, it gets turned into something that ego can use to support itself. So the energy is now used to support that imaginary conversation, and then there's this feeling of, okay, well, that was good. I accomplished something there. And then as you're doing, we step back and look at it and go, wait a minute, nothing was accomplished there. In fact, that is one of the really important things, I think, for us to look at this time and in all times. How much of our energy is being manipulated by that conversation so that it goes to ego and not to the heart?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right.
Say one other really short thing.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been doing with when I'm in the company of some of these other people who have such different views is not only do we not engage in I'm right and you're wrong, but I make a conscious effort, have been making more of a conscious effort than usual to enjoy these people, to appreciate them for just being human beings who live on the planet. And it makes me feel good. I project it makes them feel good. I project that I am perceived as,
A nice liberal? An intelligent liberal?
Exactly. Exactly. That, well, yeah. Yeah. And I also project that it's appreciated because these people know that I'm some sort of radical leftist. And which I'm not, but I mean, I am in ways, but and I think it relaxes them. And
Well, we all want love and acceptance, right? Yeah. We all do, and just about everybody, as we can establish at any point in any conversation, just about everybody is ruled by fear, and so even if people get into a I'm right, you're wrong place, not you, them. There's still a tremendous amount of fear that's going on. You know, it's not like the people who had their candidate win in this election were able to let go of all their fear. Not at all. Didn't affect it at all. And so for us to realize that, then we can be sympathetic, and we don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. All we know is that we are required to do the very best that we can do in every moment. That's it. If we start hardening our hearts to other people because we know we're right and they're wrong, which is, again, it's always been the case for everybody, right? Because that's just what ego does. Ego is just constantly looking for how I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Then we're not making, if we get into that, we're not making the contribution that we're capable of and that we want to make to life. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger than any you-me relationship. You know, it's an energetic how we want the world to be, how we can participate in that way, in each moment. Yeah, little moments and big. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, June. Sherry, we're almost at time, and so we have about 2 minutes, and I don't think it's time for a new caller, but may I just summarize wonderful conversation? There was just practice in it. Because the first thing I heard was that ability to sit still with fear, and that's sort of the thrust of what we talk about in dealing with the process of fear, is the willingness and courage to sit still, and that sitting on that cushion in front of a white wall is sort of the only way we recognize that it's not real, that here I am sitting in this environment in front of a blank wall, and all of this stuff comes up. Right? There's no reality to it because it's not happening.
Right.
And then to be able to, that stillness allows us to redirect the attention, which is what it's about, right? Not the story to getting here so that I'm no longer in the process of fear, but also that, I forgot the thread I was on.
You were on redirecting the attention and getting back.
Yes, but it's also the counter to that quote, which is, it's only when we're sitting still with it that we're actually allowed to be with all of the sensations of fear that the story is producing. And even if that situation is not happening, that's our ability to be with it, that to know the truth of the quote, that I can be with the awful things that conditioning is telling me about if I'm sitting on a cushion and sitting still.
And that I'm training myself in that way to be able to do that when I'm up and walking around.
That's right. That I develop the faith in presence through stillness.
Mm-hmm. I develop the faith in presence through stillness. That's a beautiful line.
Yeah, I can withstand. I don't have to avoid. I don't have to flatline. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be afraid of my feelings because here I am in this crucible of suffering, sitting still with it.
Yes. And it's where my favorite part of practice comes in. What I can be saying, you know, if I'm in a situation and there's something about it and the ego is saying, just flatline or avoid this or get out of here or whatever, I can just turn my attention to, yes, please, thank you, I love you, and breathe my way right on through it. Or I choose I choose peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. Whatever it is that we like, we can turn our attention to that and just keep breathing, keep breathing, keep breathing, and we see the sensations pass away and the situation is behind us, and we've had another wonderful experience of triumph over ego's fear.
Yes, and I love that attitude that June was pointing to, which is one of exploration, which if I have that training on the cushion, I can have that experience of watching what's going on, noticing how fear operates, choosing something else, not being fear, which is such a wonderful experience for everyone else around me when I'm not afraid.
Yes, and then I record that, and back to Zoe, I listen to it a lot, right? Because that's how I change the narrative. I'm starting to live in what is true and so, instead of that imaginary world of something wrong and not enough and, oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
Great opportunity, isn't it?
It certainly is. Every day is. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, then we have another opportunity to do this tomorrow. So
yes, we do.
Take
it's
care,
a good
Sherry.
Thing.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.